SIC. SIC is full of wonderful people. So please feel free. We've been talking about the book of Matthew. I'm going to begin today by telling you a story. It's a story that I read of a master and his dog. He was trying to teach his dog command. So, and one of them is to do with food. And so he's trying to train his dog. He put a piece of meat, nice and juicy, fresh meat. And he's trying to communicate with the dog to eat only when he says that he should. You know, so give go. Oh, yes. So the first test, right before he said go, the dog went and just chomped up the whole meat. So the process kept going. And it took a while. And then it came to a point where the dog beginning to get familiar with the command, with the purpose of why the master is saying yes and no. Then after a long time of pulling hair from the master, you know, frustrated to get the dog caught on. So this time, the dog sat there and gazed at the master. There's a piece of meat before he would just go and consume it. This time, he's staying there and just looking at the master. Before, he would run after the meat, but this time, he's just waiting for the master's command. Go! He went and consumed it. Come back next time. He waited. As long as the master is silent or never give the sign for him to go ahead, the dog will wait. All he did was anchor his eyes on his master. A wonderful illustration of God dealing with us as his followers, as his disciples, that he take us through a time of growing. And one of his ways for us to know him is that he allow things to happen in our lives. Many times we pray against situation. We rebuke situation to go away. But we never find God's hand in the midst of the difficulties as a time of proving and pruning of our lives, as he wants to prove himself to us again and again. So that's the introduction. Last week we talked about the baptism of Jesus. We've been talking about Matthew in his writing center and focus on Jesus, the coming Messiah, the person who'd been prophesied long ago, spoken through the prophets, the Spirit of God, spoken through the prophets, preparing the way of the one who is coming. And now Matthew is writing, that person is here. He has arrived. The kingdom is here. And then we talked about John the Baptist, the appearance of John the Baptist in the scene in the desert as he proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. And the word, one of the word that he said was, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So thousands of people, mostly Jews, are coming and looking for a way to escape that judgment and are responding to John the Baptist's message of repentance. And they've come and baptized. And in the midst of this, all these common people walk a humble man, the Messiah, the King of Kings. And I believe that many of those people have no idea who was in their midst, walking with his common people, never blowing any trumpet, da-da-da-da, I'm here, a humble servant, the King of kings, the creator of the universe, who lay aside his glory, voluntarily put aside his power, and came down for the heart and the love of his Father towards humanity, to bring us back into reconciliation and bring us back to that original intention of why he created us. God's coming, the coming of the Messiah, is not an afterthought of man's fall. God already planned out the way of salvation. And it's funny that in Corinthians, Paul was talking to the wise people, challenging the philosophers. He said, listen here, the wisdom of God is not some amazing speculation or worldview or philosophical words. And he said to them, the wisdom of God is an event that took place on the cross. That God hid these things from the wise, from heavenly principles. No one knew what God was doing on the cross. God was reconciling the world and his wisdom throughout ages. And we see here in the baptism of Jesus, here was Jesus, fully God, fully man, walking in obedience to fulfill the Father's wish, and that is to bring back his creation, to reconcile and restore fellowship and relationship with him. And it's amazing just looking at this humble king, where the rabbinic prophecy that they were looking, anticipating, the Jews, of this Messiah that will come with power, that will be like David, that he will bring freedom and restoration through power and force, an anointed leader, an anointed king, power and all these things. And yet, here is this person, that even on the cross, when somebody said, if you are a son of God, why don't you save yourself? I remember Jesus said, listen, I can call on my Father to save me, and he can send legions of angels here to take care of my business. That is not a problem, but I choose to walk this path so I can fulfill the purpose of why I'm here. Amen? And it's a beautiful thing to see just the journey Jesus took. Here he was 30 years old. John the Baptist recognized him. He said, I baptize with water, but he who is coming is greater than I. Even I am not even worthy to untie his shoes. And he will not only baptize with the Spirit, but also with fire. So Jesus was baptized. You know, John the Baptist said, you should baptize me, Jesus. I'm not even worthy to come near and do this. Jesus responded to him, let this be so. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Amen? Jesus came not to abolish the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. None of this law will pass. He said, I come to fulfill all the law. Where you have failed, we read in the book of Acts, Peter and all the elders were talking about the Gentiles coming into faith in Christ, and now God is confirming them by pouring his Spirit upon these Gentiles. You know, and they were arguing about it, and Peter says, you know, this law that we've kept, it is a burden to us. We've become slaves to our own law. And Jesus said, I've come, and I have fulfilled all the law. How many thousands of law books been written? 5, all about the law, and Jesus fulfilled each and every one of them. Amazing, huh? And here, right after I like this picture. Jesus, 400 years of silence. All the prophets have died. There is a period of silence. God's word has been, his voice, there are little echoes of his teaching and voice here and there. But for 400 years, that God has ceased to directly speak to his people. And then in this baptism, they heard the voice of the Father. The Spirit came down, descend upon Jesus, and the Father spoke, "This is my Son." Whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the one that will succeed where Israel has failed. This is the one who will succeed where Adam has failed. So we see here in chapter 4 the temptation. The testing, in other translation, it talks about the testing. For 40 days, the Spirit took Jesus to the desert. And why? Why did Jesus have to go through all this? We see the anointing of the King in baptism. The Spirit came, the Father spoke, and here them, the Trinity, were there present all at once. We see, they experience them. And then after the baptism, after the commissioning, Jesus, he said, he was led to the desert by the Spirit and be tempted by the devil. So he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So he was hungry. We're going to be talking about these three temptations. Jesus was hungry. And then Jesus here was standing up in the temple. You know, throw yourself. And then the next time Jesus was standing, we will be talking about in three Sundays, these three. But today we'll begin with Jesus' temptation to turn the stone into bread. How many of us have been hungry for 40 days? Yeah, we only have one thing, and that's food. But I don't know if we've been in hunger for 40 days. If you so, I would like to shake your hand. Wonderful experience. Jesus has to go through this, not only as a king, but approval of the Messiah. It is also a messianic plan that he go through testing and temptation. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, so we could be made righteous with God. So Jesus went through, so he was hungry, and then there he met, not only Jesus was there alone encountering the devil. It was not that there are people following him, that's happening. He alone knows what happened. But these three temptations, why was it so key? What about other temptation? And then Matthew put these three important. What's so significant about this temptation? About worship. If you bow down and worship me, if you jump down here, the angels. What is the purpose of this bargain? So we'll start with the first one. He was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is a powerful statement. Amen? And it symbolizes something. Sometimes the most tested of our time is when we are in the most vulnerable place. Jesus was in need, physically, in need of food. And the very thing that he's in need of is what he was tested in. Sometimes the very thing that we want cannot be what God wants for us. Jesus has to go through this. Their expectation of the Messiah that is coming, that he will come with power and maybe stand on the rooftop with his glory and splendor. But Jesus will not take any shortcut or bypass any of this testing because of what was waiting for him there on the cross. He could easily be frustrated and do something just to prove himself. Jesus didn't have to prove himself. In the midst of this testing, he turned to the Word of God. And he quoted from Deuteronomy. Now, we all know, most of us know the book of Deuteronomy. When chapter 8, when Moses, Deuteronomy, he said, "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land." He said, "Remember how the Lord led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you, to test you, in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you will keep his command." He said, "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So what happened, 40 years, God took them around on what would probably just took 3 years or 3 months, I don't know. I've forgotten how long. But it's an example for us. And here Jesus is quoting from that. The very failure of Israel to follow the requirement of God. Jesus is tested now if he is going to succeed on that. And the very failure that Adam, the first Adam, when he disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, the second Adam is about to test if he will fail or succeed. There is one thing to anoint a king, and there is another thing to prove that this king is worthy. Have you been tested? We've been tempted. We have a high priest. Let me We have a high priest, Jesus, that has been tempted and tested in every way, that he intercede for us. He pray for us. He understand what we go through. Every single day, we are going to go through some of these tests. Sometimes tests comes once, twice in our lifetime. Sometimes there are things that come occasionally. Many times we fail. Many times we blow it. But we have someone that we can turn to, just like this dog and his master. That he gaze in the midst of all this, he focus and gaze his eyes on his master. I like the, I was watching the Olympic Games. I'm not talking about Fiji that won the gold medal, but not that. I was watching the, what do you call? The track event, whether they jump over the obstacles. What's it called? Huh? Yes, that one. And I watched this, the American team, the USA team, the women's team, as they are about to take off. And then the camera zoom on this one of them, one of the athletes, as she was running, and then in slow motion she jumped over the first one and the second one. So it was the I think it 4x4, and she was coming, the final one. So there are a few obstacles right in front of her, and you can see her focus right there on the tape, not on the obstacles in front. She was so focused, and she was going, and never turn her eyes or look this way or the opponent. She gazed on the finishing line and said, "Keep going." And we can see the determination to get there. We focus our eyes on the one who was tempted in every way. Amen? He was the one. He's the one that we can gain our strength from. We are going to make mistakes on the way. We are going to fail. But instead of whining, instead of condemning ourselves, instead of feeling bad, we can turn. We have someone that we can turn to. We're someone that who even in the midst of our failures, that we can stand up because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus said, "We shall not live on bread alone, but of every word that comes from the mouth of God." For Jesus, his obedience to fulfill what he came for was his priority. His mission to please the one who says, "This is my son in whom I love and whom I well please." His focus to see that his mission here on earth for the redemption of humanity, that he will stay focused on that cause. And it's about obedience, that even in the midst of his weakness, even in the point of his vulnerability, obedience take over. Amen? His desire to please the Father, to stick to the plan, to obey the word of the Lord, will never compromise the human side that wants to come out and prove ourselves. The human side that would try to be in control. The human side that want to take over when things are not working out. He dependent on God. He dependent on his obedience to fulfill what the Father has called him to do. He said, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me." And here before his ministry, before all the healings, before all the miracles, before all these amazing things that is about to be put on display, he has to go through this. Everything that will happen after this, okay, everything that is going to happen in the future is now rest on this time in which Jesus has to go through. There is no shortcut with Jesus. He didn't bargain with the enemy just to prove a point. He stayed humble, even in the midst of his weakness. He remained focused. He hold on to the word of God, becomes the weapon that he used. It is written, he said to the enemy, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do we trust in the word? Do we recognize the authority and the power of his word as part of our weapon every day? The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. I have made this decision, what he said, that I will stay true, even in the midst of temptation, that I will remain firm. We all gonna go through time of testing, a time of proving. You know, I haven't been to the gym for a long time, and which I need to. The body is getting there. Need some spare parts. But there's something about working out. You're carrying weights. And it, what happened, it developed your muscles. It makes you strong. You become familiar. Your body becomes familiar with the weights. And if you miss out for a long time like me, you will start with little tiny weights, yeah? So make sure you hide somewhere so people won't see you carrying the small weights. Ha ha ha, look at that big guy doing a small weight. But we get used to it. Our body gets used to it as we begin discipline to be fit and be healthy. And so instead of spending half an hour just walking in front of the mirror, that we exercise. And the testing that does in our lives, it tests, develop trust, it develop our faith in Christ, that he is faithful, that God is faithful in his word, that he is with us, that he will come through, that Jesus, his response was, well, let me show you what I can do. No. He said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word. We live our life on the word of the Lord. If we don't, I don't know what we will hold on to. We'll stop there today. Jesus was hungry. And when somebody's hungry, he's in need of food. Jesus, in the most vulnerable time of his life, the very thing he needed was the very thing that he was tested in. And he didn't fail. He looked at the devil and he confronted the devil with the very thing that he hold on to, and that's the word of the Lord. It is a weapon. Never underestimate the power and the authority of his word. I'm going to ask us to pray. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we are human. We have our limitation. We are vulnerable to fall. But we thank you for what you've done for us. That you, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so we can be made righteous with you. We thank you that in those words that you took on the punishment, the full wrath, judgment of the sin of humanity, as you were the one who committed all this. We thank you for the sacrifice. We pray for mercy. We pray for those of us who are here today, whatever season of our life we are going through right now, that we will remain focused on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite us to stand up. We're going to say together,